on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football.
Brasil, meu Brasil brasileiro, meu mulato risonheiro, vou cantar-te nos meus versos o Brasil samba que tá bamboleio e faginga, o Brasil do meu amor, terra de Nosso Senhor.
Hello and welcome to The Sound of Football. It's the World Cup still 3 days into it now. So, oh God, I'm really excited still.
Yeah, still very excited.
Yeah, you know. it's like being at Christmas, but being excited after you've opened your
presents. It's a month long Christmas.
Yeah, so every day you wake up, yeah. it's like Christmas Day. Yeah. It's like brilliant.
Yeah, it's like Slade's dream has finally come true.
I wish it could be the World Cup.
No, that wasn't Slade, was it? It was Wizard, wasn't it?
Wizard was the one. Yeah, he wished it could be Christmas every day.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was the one that Slade did?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, but you sort of like some
you
of like,
hated
like,
it.
Yeah, I don't like Christmas songs. Generally speaking.
Yeah, we shouldn't really talk about Christmas songs in June.
No, you're right. We can have the discussion around for Christmas. Our special Boxing Day.
Well, yeah, but anyway, the World Cup, because I think that's
the
what
World
we were
Cup. Yes, we were.
Rather than 70s novelty songs.
It's also World Gin Day, if you hadn't noticed.
World Gin Day.
We are observing it.
We had a taste test earlier, didn't we?
We did indeed. Yeah, yeah,
did you do the Pepsi Challenge?
Yeah, we did, with five gins. Yeah. And they were all pretty special. We were actually just 35 minutes away from the England game. The England game is 35, which is why we're probably a bit excitable, apart from all the amount of gin we've had. Mm. It's all muted in the corner there is the BBC's coverage, they're sat in there in their studio, which is obviously one floor above ITV's studio. Which I thought
they've got a better view, haven't they?
Yeah, I find very amusing. I can't help but feel that there's like awkward conversations going on in the lift as you go up. You know,
Gary, the Canadian child, getting in the lift on the way up. Yeah, yes. morning.
Yeah. And even worse,
awkward silence. Between
even worse, if you're one of the pundits on there, and like you get in with Adrian Charles, and he says, "So you're getting out the third or the fourth?
Getting out here, Gary? No.
Going up another one. Yeah.
Oh, not nice up there, is it?
Yeah,
it's all right. Canapé's nice. Oh." Canapés. Goes in there, talks to Legion, they've got canapés up there. That's probably accounts for his perma scowl that he's had while he's been them. Mind you, he's always scowling, isn't he, when he does his presenting thing.
Charles in charge. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So, Brazil then, the hosts, big pressure.
And
I think it got to them a bit.
They got to them a bit. Maybe they were helped a little bit by the referee. I mean, there was the first couple of days. There was a bit of a kind of the referees are shocking kind of thing going
which
on.
Happens which happens every World Cup.
That happens at every World Cup. Yeah, I think it happens at every World Cup.
Oh, it does. The referees are unfamiliar.
They're unfamiliar, or they're from countries where we don't recognise their authority
as footballing nations.
This was the worst. This was when I can't remember which game it was, but it was in '94 World Cup.
Was it the Egyptian?
And I think he was a Syrian. I think he was a North African fella.
Yes.
And because he was North African, he was clearly not.
Clearly, didn't know what he was talking about.
It was just complete and utter racism. But obviously, it's 1994.
It was all right.
Yes, they probably felt that thing. It's okay. We could be racist in 1994.
Look, this is the age of loaded and men behaving badly. We can get away with this.
But the thing is, I mean, now it's still on the tip of their tongues now, but they daren't say it because they don't want to sound racist. It's just these things, isn't it? You know, the World Cup starts. Everyone's nervous, including referees, and it's all unfamiliar as well. You know, all the processes, all the procedures are brand new. You know, no one quite knows where to stand. It's everyone just, has to get their forms filled in. They have to make certain that it's so. You know, it's not easy for officials.
It's not. They're just getting used to it. They know the spotlight's on them. And then someone comes up to them with a can of shaving foam and says,
"Yeah, it's on you.
Can you? You're going to need this. Mm. What? Right? Yeah. You're on."
That being said, Brazil were helped out quite a lot by that penalty, weren't they?
Mm.
I don't think that was really what I would describe as a penalty.
No, I'd say that was what I would describe that as, is a man falling over.
Yeah.
With very little contact needed.
Yeah.
I mean, he did fall down very well.
He definitely fell down.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. I think if the rule was you get a penalty if you fall down.
Yeah.
Then there's no question. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't like diving a lot, do we, in this country? It's seen as something that...
It seems a bad thing.
It's seen as very much a bad thing.
It is a bad thing, in my view.
Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, when the Oscars come around every year, you don't think when they go up and they say, "Yeah, bloody liar, that didn't happen to you, did it? You just made it up. You were just reading it off a sheet of paper, didn't you?"
Yeah, there is
big
that.
Big phony.
Yeah, but the thing is, I go there knowing that it's
they're
fiction.
Liars.
I go there knowing I watch a film knowing that it's not real.
It's made up.
it's a story.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's slightly different with... I think that's a pretty poor analogy.
Really?
You're seriously trying to tell me that the people in those movies are actors. You must think I'm pretty naive to swallow that.
Professional footballers are entertainers, aren't they?
Well.
Have a swig of gin.
A swig of gin will make you answer that question.
Yeah. I've had my gin. they are, but they're not acrobats.
Right. So it's all right for them to do samba skills. So interpretive dance is okay, but acting isn't okay.
You should leave that to the lovies.
Yes. Okay.
I suppose just returning slightly to the theme of referees, Giovanni Dos Santos is probably the guy who's struggled, who's suffered the most out of.
He has, hasn't he?
Because he scored two perfectly good goals in the first half against Cameroon, and they were both chalked off by the linesman far offside, and they were never offside.
The first one was.
I didn't see that game, but I heard there were two offside goals.
The second one was
clear onside goals, ruled off as offside. By, I don't know, I can only assume an incredibly nervous and very jittery linesman. It was bang out of order, actually. And because, Mexico won the game, but Dos Santos is a striker and, you know, goals are his currency. And World Cup goals, it's a real shame. It's a real shame for the guy. And obviously, he probably would have said after the game, the important thing is that we won. But I'm sure deep down he's thinking, oh, man, I had two World Cup goals on my LinkedIn profile. Yeah. If it wasn't for that bloody linesman.
Yeah. It always makes me. I didn't see that game, but it always makes when things are so clear cut, and if it happens once, then it's a one off. But it happens twice, and it's starting to become a trend. And it sounds It's almost like
certainly. I mean,
the bowler's been bowling wide a little bit more often than normal.
Match fixing a high profile game like the World Cup is less likely because it's under more scrutiny. But, I think as a matter of course, as good practice, if you ever find two instances like that happening in a short space of time, then I think it's only right to sit the linesman down and ask him some questions. Say, what happened? Tell us why. Maybe that already happened.
Yeah.
Just to say, look, or is there anything you'd like to tell us
that
you think you should share with us now? And just to at least try to find one. I think it's just good practice.
Just sit them down. That's a very nice watch you're wearing.
Yeah, that was, by the way. Yeah.
Is that your Ferrari?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when they earn enough money that they've got hired goons to shut the people up who are asking them questions. Then.
Yeah. No. I'm not. Obviously, it's not an ideal. It's not the best way of getting to the bottom of these things. But I do think that it's good practice to talk to officials afterwards and make certain that there aren't any under unnecessary pressure, shall we say?
Yeah.
Speaking of unnecessary pressure, or speaking of pressure, Spain.
Wow.
Ooh, they're under some pressure now, aren't they?
I couldn't believe what I was
saying. That was amazing, wasn't it?
That was amazing. Yeah, it was really
Spain amazing. Could be the first team eliminated in this competition.
Well, they've got a -3 goal difference already after one game.
Yeah.
So they're in deep doo-doo.
Minus four.
Minus four, sorry. Yeah. Minus four. Mansfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are in a lot of trouble, and they collapsed.
I mean, they lost last time round, didn't they? They lost to Switzerland in their first game. They lost 1-0 in 2010, if you recall. I don't think this is the same thing.
They were really.
You could put that down to a below par performance, but this looked more like a collapse.
Yeah.
I mean, we will know more in the next game, obviously. Yeah. I mean, this could easily be just I mean, Ian King was writing this morning on 200% and said that, you know, we won't really know because it could be a reshaping of the boundaries in terms of world football, or it could just simply be a blip.
That's a hell of a blip. But I mean, a world class side like is, that. That wouldn't have happened to the.
Isn't this why World Cups are brilliant, though?
Because this kind of stuff into
sharp focus. Yeah. It's three games, thing, and suddenly the way you look at world football can change. In one game, everything's going. Wow, Spain are now rubbish.
Terry, we're also in that position where we know that in the past, where we've seen teams like this that were meant to be good. Suddenly get hammered, and then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks after the tournament, there comes out a massive expose that there's a huge rift in the camp or something like that.
Yep.
So it could be something like that, or it could be something which is like fundamentally wrong.
Ultimately, that doesn't make any difference.
No.
Ultimately, if the team fails for whatever reason, whether or not because they stop playing very well, or whatever reason that is, I mean, oftentimes, and it's perfectly expected for that to happen. I mean, you know, most of the time I would suggest to you that is how teams fall apart. It isn't just because they suddenly lose the ability to play football, that they just, something goes wrong off the pitch, probably.
It could, it could be as, you know, when we started this bit, when you were talking about pressure, it could just be the fact that, you know, they've got 4 years worth of pressure bearing down on them.
What pressure, though?
I mean, like, and then, well, then, I mean, yeah. then they're yeah, drawn against the very team that they beat in the final.
Yeah. I reckon that there's pressure going on there. I mean, I also think that you have to have tremendous heart and appetite to keep winning. Massive desire to keep going. In club football, managers over a time, if they stay around long enough, they refresh their squads. Because they understand that players can, after a while, not just decline in terms of their ability, but perhaps conquered all worlds and no longer have the appetite.
Well, I suppose the classic example is England, though, isn't it? Really, I mean, look at them in '66 when they won the World Cup. They showed well in 1970, but then they failed to qualify for the next two tournaments. Is this what Spain have got coming up?
Maybe so. I mean, it was a bit like watching Spain from before they were good. Because they were well known for repeatedly turning up at tournaments and doing nothing.
I put that on Twitter last night. I said, look, I remember when this was Spain at every World Cup.
This is what they would turn up and they would be rubbish.
Yeah. You didn't have to go too far back to find out the last time Spain went out before England.
So you could certainly say that could be what's happening here. But of course, it could be massively premature. But I think we do have to give massive, massive props for the Dutch because they were superb.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because it shouldn't just be about how bad Spain were as the Dutch.
Well, that's the way the world turns, isn't it?
But they deserve all of the credit.
I mean, Ron Vlaar. Who knew? I mean, I know. Villa fans looking at Ron Vlaar saying,
"Villa fans, excuse
me, and who are you? And you've been doing what precisely?" I would certainly have some questions to Ron Vlaar if I was a Villa fan.
This is what I think. This is why I think Spain aren't generally rubbish. Because they made that Dutch side. I mean, Van Gaal's gonna turn up with his your face painted on a balloon thing, and it's gonna come up to Old Trafford. Yes, there you go. Yeah, Moyes, that was just the warm up act. Here we go. This is what we really want.
But Wesley Sneijder, the front three, Wesley Sneijder and Arjen Robben and Van Persie. Worked really, really well, and Van Persie particularly, because in the first half, Van Persie was like, he wasn't a passenger exactly. I mean, he was making all these runs and he was doing a lot of off the ball work, but no one was picking him up. No one was able to find him. But I mean, that goal he scored, and that picture that's going around the internet. I don't know whether you've seen it, where he's salmon-like mid-air, and it's just a second or so after he's connected, his head's connected with the ball. So he's not quite horizontal, he's sort of floating in the air, as it looks like, and the ball is just towards the top of the image on its way. That's going to be one of the great iconic images of the World Cup. It's going to be up there with Pelé's celebration in 70 and more and Pelé in 70. Yeah. It's going to be one of the grand... And,
it's an iconic image.
It really is. It's going
to be... He looked... obviously, he's a dangerous player to be playing against, but he actually looked really hungry in the second half then. He looked like he really wanted to... You know, he had a bit between his teeth, and you don't often see that with
I suppose, the thing is with Schneider and Van Persie, this is their last World Cup, isn't it? It's unlikely that they'll be back for the next one.
It's unlikely. You'd think that was
Pirlo's playing tonight, and he's 35. So,
yeah, true. But I mean, all of those front attacking players rely on pace, don't they? And well, I don't think the game's going to have changed so much in 4 years that's going to change. I'd be very, very, very strange if that was to happen. So yeah, maybe there's an element of that.
Yeah, I wonder as well if the the Netherlands did look fired up. I'm wondering whether there's a bit of, you know, because all the criticism they got after the last World Cup for the way that they conducted themselves in the final. I'm just wondering whether they felt that they had a point to prove.
They
responded
to that, do you think? There's all manner of different things. Louis van Gaal is an excellent coach. Manchester United are getting an excellent coach. Yeah. And someone who really does do a very good job in motivating players. I'm certain that would have been part of it. The sort of, the world is looking at you. They all think that they think you've betrayed your principles. This was the accusation of the Dutch team after that 2010 World Cup, was that they abandoned total football.
In favour of pragmatism, in favour of violence.
Worse.
It was horrible to watch.
And it's regarded as a betrayal. I'm sure that's probably not how they see it. You know, they probably just felt that they didn't know quite how to play against Spain and just took the wrong way. Unfolded in a way that they probably, looking back on, would rather have not done. Yeah. And I'm sure they also feel that they were let down by the referee on that day as well. It was, after all, Howard Webb. there may be an element of, we're reaffirming themselves. Yeah. When wasn't total football that we saw there.
No.
I mean,
it was
fast counter-attacking football.
Yeah. And they really exploited it.
Yeah. But there is a kind of an assumption that there is a philosophy. It's usually 4-3-3. It's based on attacking football, and it's based on short passing football. I don't think that's how they do it. But obviously 2010 was very much a sort of abandonment of any kind of principle, let alone the actual tactics and strategy itself. So you could look upon it as a sort of redemption. I'm sure that's not how they see it. They just see it as a football match, which is ultimately what it was.
So outside of the major teams, obviously we haven't even seen half the teams yet play. But who has been the biggest surprise for you, other than Costa Rica?
I was going to say it's Costa Rica.
Yeah, I mean everything's gone pretty much. Everything else has gone pretty much to form.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed that Cameroon were really flat against Mexico.
Mexico, although,
do look quite good.
Yeah.
If they get a linesman that can line, they might be even better. Who knows?
The thing about that game was at least the result.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the result. Totally. Yeah. It's a bit early for Chile to make a decision about them, because Australia, although they did rally after those two goals went in, they don't look quite so good.
I don't know if that's just like Australia really being pumped up and rising for the tournament, or whether or not that's Chile not being as much as what I thought they would be.
It's really difficult to tell over these first games. Yeah. I mean, we've been fortunate, I think, as viewers, because unlike 2010, we've had a good start. We've had goals, we've had good games for various different reasons. We've seen some classic football. Mm. We've also seen some, the hum, harum scarum stuff. And, it has been good. C- Colombia looked decent against Greece, but again, Greece, I'm not sure they.
And
really
it took six games in before we've seen a red card as well, which is good. I mean, I think in some ways, I know the referee was the refereeing at the tournament was rightly criticised in the first two matches, but I think they've certainly allowed the game to go on anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's been that poor, as far as these two
particular standout games but you know that's not enough really to people to get quite so excited but you know you're always looking for to use the term you're always looking for narratives aren't you and when you're in a condensed competition like the World Cup you jump to conclusions and you look for trends much sooner than you would do over a 9-month season.
Very quickly as well. So, yes. I mean, in 2 days' time, it could be something completely different.
But it's just the games just come so thick and fast.
Actually, in about 2 hours' time, it could be something completely different.
When listeners listening to this tomorrow will be listening to this after the England game, and they may regard what we're saying as a complete irrelevance, depending on what happens in the next two matches, because England have got to play. And then we've got the Ivory Coast and Japan game, and who knows what's going to go on in these games? They're all so important, and they're so dramatic, you know. That just things, your stuff you talk about. People go, "Oh wow, do you remember when Holland beat Spain? Wow, that was brilliant, wasn't it? It was only 2 days ago, but it seems like an age ago. Something, you know, it will do. You know, what's fresh in the memory now? You know, 4 hours from now is going to seem...
Yeah, there could be something spectacular between now and then.
You could count on it. I think you can
suddenly Holland are going, do you remember when we beat Spain? And they're like, no one's talking about that anymore.
That's the brilliant thing about this tournament as well. Because usually you look forward to the World Cup. And of course it's disappointing, but you still love it anyway. But this one is just being ridiculously good. I mean, we've had lots of games here, and like they're all coming off quite well.
Mm.
Yeah, of course, it really is made for England and Italy to stink out the whole tournament.
Nil-nil draw. Really tedious nil-nil draw.
I hadn't even considered that as a possibility, but now I've just realised that actually that's a real distinct possibility.
I really hope not.
I think it's going to be exciting, though. I mean, like what do we think is going to happen today? Come on.
I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up having to drink a lot more gin because England get thumped.
I have to say I put a draw on my coupon.
Or it's boring, I've got a
four-folder on this and
on England,
and it's a draw.
How's your four-fold going though?
It's Costa Rica.
Cost you a packet.
Colombia were fine, and I was expecting Uruguay to win, and that didn't happen. Costa Rica. I mean, we haven't talked much about Costa Rica, but I mean, maybe we will in other podcasts. But that's a fantastic story. That is.
They were good for it as well.
But I suppose as really well, like you said earlier, first round we don't know because they've only played one team.
No,
so
that's right.
All these fixtures once we've got through the three rounds, you will show this time. I think this is going to be we're going to see group people coming out of the group who actually deserve to go out of the group to actually go through as well, because it's good if that happens because
there's nothing more boring than the big boys always winning it
or always
doing well rather. You know, it'd be good to see some of the up-and-coming nations. You know,
I will be more than glad for our predictions in our last pod to be completely thrown out the window by things that actually happen on the grass.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Costa Rica South Korea final would be wonderful. Probably impossible.
Maybe a semi-final. But
you can tell how good this tournament is because no one's mentioned the ball yet.
That's true.
I did earlier, but in a complimentary way.
But yeah, no one's mentioned. No,
it looks pretty.
Yeah,
it is a very pretty.
Yeah, no one's mentioned the way it moves through the air, the suspicious way it moves through the air.
Apparently, it's been tested rigorously, and it's got little dimples in it, like a golf ball.
All right.
To aid a more true flight.
Mrs. Graham was explaining earlier on that it's got its own verified Twitter account.
It has,
with over a million followers.
Mm.
ITV, in the closing of their broadcast, the Costa Rica game, said, you can also follow the England game on Twitter.
with Lee Dixon.
Lee Dixon's account, that was it. Yeah. And then Agent Charles says, right, we're all off to watch the game. apart from Lee. There were these four. I'm going to watch the first England game of the World Cup on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or I could just turn the telly.
We don't want you to watch it on the TV. Yeah, no. We want you to go and watch it on Twitter with Lee Dixon. Okay, we're going to go and watch it. You on, you know, we are. Yeah, you on the other hand, no. We want you to watch whatever's on. Actually, believe it or not, it's Plain Misty, 1971 Clint Eastwood movie, Plain Misty for me. Which is on ITV while the England game is on.
I mean, it's classic.
Which actually is a very good film.
It's an excellent film. Yeah.
It's a good piece of scheduling there. Yeah. But yeah. The old no one's going to be watching it.
Yeah. I bet they couldn't give the advertising space away.
I bet you're right.
I might tape it just to see what advertising actually got on.
That's really good.
Like daytime TV, insurance adverts, accident damage adverts.
Yeah, basically it. It's going to be Underdog.
Internationally, it's not your fault.
Get this free Parker pen when you sign up for your
facial hair removal tools and stuff like that.
Cash if you die. Cash if you don't die.
We use PBI insurance.
lots of June Whitfield out there.
Don't laugh, that'll be us soon.
Yeah. And for international listeners, we apologise because none of that made sense.
Well, I'm sure it did in some respect.
You've got your own equivalents,
Of course. Well, look, we're going to settle down and watch the game now because now it's less than 10 minutes away.
Well, we should get out there for the anthems and stuff.
We should
stand and sing God Save the Queen. Shall we do that now?
I'm not going to join in with that for political reasons. But it's good to be over here. And I'll stand, but I will respectfully decline to sing.
Stand and
listeners, thank you for joining us and joining in with our angst here because you've obviously just relived the last. Three quarters of an hour before the
you know what happens.
Yeah, you know what happens.
Now, and you know what happens. And we don't. Yeah. You have it as a distinct disadvantage.
Yeah, we're all positive now, and you're probably like laugh. You've probably got your extra wide laughing sleeves on right now, going.
When we lose 8-0 or something like that.
We'll see you next time. So for me, Graham Sidley from Terry DeFillon and Jan Bilton, it's goodbye.
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 Foi onde amar a minha rede nas noites claras de luar, Brasil. Brasil.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter at Sound of Football, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
E onde a lua vem brincar, oi, esse Brasil lindo e trigueiro, é o meu Brasil brasileiro, terra de samba e bandeiro, Brasil, Brasil.
Are we going downstairs to watch it with the BBC boys or with the ITV boys?
No, I think what we'll do is we'll go upstairs and we'll go. There's a Brazilian broadcaster upstairs. We'll go.
She was nice.
Well, they're bringing in a bunch of telenovela stars as well. You know, they're just going to have a party and going to hang out. It's going to be cool.
I heard they were actually filming an episode up there.
Ooh, do you think we might get in?
I am.
You're in.
Yeah, I'm playing Gustavo.
Gustavo. That's why you're wearing the eye patch.
Yes, exactly.
I was wondering why you were doing that. Just go.
You always get the best one.